Chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 this morning. I'm putting some notes together for this. I want us to look at the doctrines of the rich man and Lazarus. A lot of times we don't rightly divide the Word of God like we should. And there can be many things come out of a passage that are not there, or they can be added to the passage because the rest of Scripture is not consulted. It takes Scripture to understand Scripture. Of course, without the Holy Spirit of God, you'll never understand that either. As I put these notes together for the doctrines, we looked at the opposites and we looked at the similarities that were in that passage. And now I want us to look at the doctrine. If you would allow me, in the next couple weeks, we'll look at different things from this passage. And we'll be in this passage a little bit, so your Bible might actually open up to this place after a while. You just never can tell. But remember that this passage in Luke 16, verse number 19, so many people believe that this is just a story, fictitious at that, that it's not real. As I've told you before, as you come to Luke 16, verse 19, I had a piano. When we had our piano up here many, many years ago, it needed to be tuned. And that tuner, who went to a Lutheran or Presbyterian church, the pastor had told them that this is a fictitious story, much like an illustration or a parable. Well, it's not. If you look at the entire chapter of chapter 16, we first of all see the world system and the dog-eat-dog world that we live in. Then the Lord Jesus makes that statement that you cannot serve two masters, for you love the one or hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. And in the Matthew passage, he goes and he says there, you cannot serve God and mammon. So in chapter 16, as we get to verse 19, with those things in thought, he now brings up a certain rich man. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, his clothing is not what made him wicked. This clothing that's shown here is that of a very, 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 very wealthy man. Now, I was thinking about it this last couple weeks on this. Could you imagine Brother Ray and I in tuxedos in the church house? That just isn't going to match because that's not who we are. We have to understand that we're all, right now, to not burst your bubble too bad, but we're all common men and women. You realize that? We are not the elite, and thank the Lord, we're not the impoverished. But the point I'm making with this is his clothing didn't make him wicked. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores. When I read that passage, it reminds me of Job when he says that the troubles of man are as the sparks that fly upward. Boy, if that's not true, full of sores, full of sparks in our life. And what I'm thankful for is God is in control of all of that. Verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Does this sound like a parable or an illustration? No. This is a true story. The rich man really represents the world system. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, but you believe in yourself and your successes and whatnot and your wealth, God does not look at the amount of money in your bank account as to whether or not you're allowed into heaven or into hell. He doesn't. Bank account or clothing or status in life. And there's so many people that are trying to always make themselves better. I've been asked before, well, David, why don't you pastor a bigger church? I said, I'd rather pastor where God has me than to be in the wrong place. I was asked yesterday, well, when you and Jamie and you, this individual, you have to understand it comes from an individual that's very scathing, scoffer-like, very jealous, very, very arrogant. And she said, well, you're going to move back to Florida when you retire. I said, yes, I am. Because I'm a smart aleck, as you know. Well, when's that going to be? When the Lord tells me. I might even, Lord Jesus, please help me. I might even die in Michigan. That means I could be here a long time or a short time. None of us know our expiration date. Beloved, today, retired or not, and by the way, a friend of ours has gotten retired, and I told her, I said, you're going to be busier being retired than you were before. Brother DeVito is also going to be retiring, and he's already started a company, working on starting of a company. And I was like, yeah, that's really awesome. You never quit. Does anybody ever retire and quit? Wouldn't it be a fantasy, though, is to retire to the great state of Florida where there's always sunshine and there's always flowers and there's always,
there's hurricanes. Or it's so hot down there. Well, then go inside and get in your air conditioner when it's hot, okay?
Matter of fact, we ran the air conditioner like we run the heat up here, okay? That's just the way that works. And anyway, you don't know what you're going to do. None of us do. Take no thought for tomorrow. Isn't that what he tells us? But there is such a place called paradise and hell. So the doctrines of this passage are very relevant. They are very much right there in your face. What is reality? Well, one old preacher has said it this way, that this earth is the only heaven a non-believer will ever see and the only hell the believer will ever experience. Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of like the flowers and the grass turning green and the trees budding and the birds are singing. And you know, yes, okay, I stomach winter. Because I know spring's a-coming. Amen? It doesn't last. Now, I will say that if your attitude stinks, it's going to last a whole year. When in reality, it only lasts, what, 4, 5.5 months at the most? That means we get 6 to 7 really good months. And here's what I need everybody to do. I need everybody to remind me of that. And if you do, I promise not to punch you in the mouth. Or tell you, no, I might do that, Miss Catherine. Shut up. No, I'm just kidding. The realities of Scripture, a lot of times people close their eyes to. But I want you to understand with Scripture, every verse, every passage, every chapter, every book will teach us of God's whole counsel if we study God's Word rightly dividing. We are told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. To study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. But rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, the more and more that I live life and am around preachers and missionaries and evangelists and Christians in general, it shocks me as to the ignorance that we have as believers. And it hurts my heart, because I don't know it all. I know you may think you know it all, and if you're watching, you might think that, but you don't know it all. Nobody does. Only God knows it all. In this passage of Scripture, as we rightly divide, understand this, in order to rightly divide the word of truth, we must study Scripture with Scripture. Now, we saw in Zephaniah that God's going to consume. We saw in Zephaniah, He is going to cut off. I mentioned in Sunday school about the new heaven and the new earth. I've heard, Brother Josh, I've heard some fellas say that all He's going to do, He's just going to burn the earth up and redo the earth. No, the Bible says it's a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because sin has tainted it. You and I sin. This world's sin from beginning to end has made it so that it's tainted and worthless. But wait a minute. What about the corn? What about the flowers? What about the trees? Well, if there's anything, there's two things that it proves to me. Number one, Jesus Christ is needed by every human being. Number two, the mercy of God to give us such beauty. It is. I realize that the dams breaking and the struggles they've had up north in Sheboygan and some other areas. I know that. I know that is seen as very harsh and whatnot. But isn't it amazing how that water just kind of washes it away and makes it fresh like a baby out of a bath? Isn't it amazing what sunlight will do and what clouds will do and how God knows exactly what we need? You know, this earth, the weather patterns are cyclical. They're in cycle. It's not global warming or global cooling or affecting any of the seasons. It's amazing to me that when they're proven wrong, they come up with a new term. Yeah. Well, that's not so. This idea of we're changing the weather. Do you really think you're that big that you can change the weather? No. It's foolish to think that, because God's still God and He's still on His throne and He's still in charge. Right. But to rightly divide, hold your place there and come with me to Isaiah 28 a moment. So this is Old Testament. We just read New Testament. Let's look in some Old Testament verses. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 28. And look with me, if you would, please, at verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 28, we speak about rightly dividing the word of truth. Isaiah 28, and look, if you would, please, at verse number 10. Verse number 10 reminds us, for precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. He mentions verse 7, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. There must be doctrines in Scripture that most people, we don't like, so what they do is they remove it. They become of as a drunk man. Their vision is off. Their thinking is off. There's a lot of good men of God in our country. There's no doubt about it. I've been around, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've probably been around some of the greatest preaching that has walked this earth. Mays Jackson, Harold Seitler, Billy Kelly, Charlie Sturgill. I can mention to you men like Harold Tabb and Jim Shetler. Great men of God. Men of God that have been a blessing and a help to me. Pastor Williams, by the way, Pastor Williams has fallen and hit his head. And I will get more of it. I forgot to print it out to read it to you. But we need to be praying for Brother Williams. Brother Ron's been a blessing. Dr. Williams has been a help to this church. And I love him dearly. He's been a help to my heart. Other great men of God that you've heard. Yeah, Brother Ray, Sister Rachel, I'll have to include that old Raider fella up there, Ken Ross. Not only a great preacher, but faithful to the work of God. He went there to stay there. I will tell you, I've come here to stay here. Even if we have the Mills family and their Wolverine-itis in our church, we'll pray and ask God for mercy. And just like you put up with me, I put up with you, amen. So you know what, beloved? If you don't rightly divide line upon line, precept upon precept, it has to be. You know, you can read one thing in one verse, and if that's all you take is that part of that verse, you can be way off doctrinally. And that's not good. In the Zephaniah passage we looked at this morning with the idea of consuming, there's some good men that think all God's going to do is just burn up the topsoil of this earth and God will restart it and the earth will be good. No, it's a new heaven and a new earth. There are some men that want to preach that there's two different raptures of the church, one before and one midway through. There are some that preach that there's a rapture midway through and at the end. That is just garbage. That's silliness. That's not what the Scriptures teach us. When we were saved from the wrath to come. When you were saved that day, your condemnation and wrath are gone. Do you understand? Now, I don't mean you can live life like you want. I don't suggest ice fishing on a Sunday morning when you know you ought to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Well, you talk about it. I mentioned it before. I got to do this again. But that's an oxymoron. Ice and fishing. It's an oxymoron. I get a kick when I see the pictures and hear the stories of fellas losing their four-wheel drive in the lake because the ice wasn't as strong as they thought. That's like building your house on the sand. Oh, my goodness. Look at verse 13 of Isaiah 28. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. We have to be reminded of things. I know in every message I bring this idea up. Study the book. Know the Word of God. Know the book. Know the book. Rightly divide the book. Be in the house of God. Be in the house of God. Be under preaching. It's a whole lot better than Fox News. It's definitely better than CNN, NBC, and NBC, and all the other trashy websites. They are there. Listen, that is media pornography. It's wicked to look onto. It's wicked to listen to. And over the years, it's done nothing but destroy rather than help. I'd rather go to the good news to get help than to go to the bad news and get help. Some of the stupid, foolish questions that President Trump has asked. And I, you know what? Listen, I haven't drunk the Kool-Aid either. I know he's not an altar boy. But he's the leader we need right now. You know, beloved, if you knew everything that the politicians have done or heard or see, beloved, you and I'd be fighting mad. Some of the stuff that's happened. 18 million people crossed the border during the 4 years, and there's probably more than that even. Well, how many of them were Taliban? How many of them were a part of that IRGC, the Iranian guard? How many of them were the enemy that we let in easy? You know, I know a king here in the Old Testament that did that with Babylon. Let him come in, let him see everything, and just a few short years later, they come in here and they took it all away. Y'all ever heard of Hezekiah in Babylon? That's what happens when you let the enemy in. They figure it out. But thank God we have the Lord looking out for us. Oh, but what if I'm at Walmart and somebody pulls a gun and they shoot me? Well, I guarantee it wasn't the gun's fault. So what? Basically, they just threatened us with heaven? On Monday, I kind of had a problem and I didn't handle it right. And next time I see my doc, I got to ask him forgiveness. But they looked at my last EKG and basically said, I've had a light heart attack sometime in my past. Might have been, I was kidding with Jamie. I said, it might have been that first kiss you gave me. Or the time I heard Sister Kara sing. I'm just kidding. It might have been this or it might have been that when that happened. But I was like, what in the world? And then I got to thinking that later on this week, Doc said to me, he said, they're probably going to get after you about your weight. I said, Doc, you know where I've been and you know where I'll go. Yeah, Dave, but you gotta get that weight back down. And I have been. Thank God, I think it's 6.5 pounds down just this week. So getting up and getting moving and starting to, it changes your whole psyche, does it not? But I told him, I said, if they do, I'm going to punch them in the mouth. He said, now, Dave. I said, no, I know where I've been and I know where I'm going. Well, the same thought came to mind later on with this in mind. My doctor threatened me with heaven. Think about it a moment. What better place to be? No, Sister Margie, I know the UP is beautiful. I love the UP. But that's not heaven. Even if paradise is there. What I do know is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus is the greatest place that anybody could ever be in. And that's where I want to stop and say this. Know that you know that you know you're saved. Are you that whosoever that said, Lord Jesus, save my soul? Forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me whole. Seal me to the day of redemption. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord Jesus, save me. It's that simple. You are the Savior. Isn't that what the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. What keeps me from being baptized, being dunked in the water? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made known. Line upon line, precept upon precept. As you make your way back to Luke chapter 16, I want to start with some simple doctrine that this passage teaches. And it begins there in verse number 19 of chapter 16. There was a certain rich man. Look at verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Let me give you a very simple thought here. Are you ready? The Lord Jesus knows everything. Some of the basis of Bible doctrine that we teach our children in children's church, that we teach our children in juniors church, that we teach our children at camp, at the camps, these Christian camps that we go to, Camp Canaanland, what a great and steady and rock solid camp. They've not wavered on the King James Bible. They've not wavered on the true doctrines of the Scripture. That pastor up there, hallelujah, praise God, is steadfast and unmovable to do it righteously. And I tell you, friends, all these other camps, they've gone by the wayside when it comes to those things. Now, there still are some great ones out there, but nothing like Camp Canaanland. My camp, the camp that Jamie and I met at and started dating at, the camp that my brother Bill found his wife, the camp where my brother Chris found his wife, the camp where my brother Bill got saved, the camp where my brother Chris got saved, the camp that met at a fireside chat in October of 1981. The Lord Jesus called me to preach. The camp that I call home, that I love dearly, has gone by the wayside. They don't believe the book anymore. The influences of most of our Bible colleges, and please forgive me if I sound a little bitter, it's more of a sour stomach with what our Bible colleges have done. I am so glad. I love Pensacola Christian. Don't get me wrong in this. Great teachers and whatnot. But even good colleges like Pensacola have given religiosity over the relationship that's with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we had some great, great men and women that showed us the relationship. Pastor Shetler and Mrs. Shetler. Oh, I love them. I miss them. I haven't seen them in many years. If I get to see him again, I'm going to hug him. Happy family time. That's what we called it in Preacher Boys class. Pastor Shetler would holler out, "Happy family time!" And everybody just go around hugging each other. And it was a good time. It was a blessed time learning how to love God and love each other in the ministry. Great men of God, Brother Mike, Dr. Mike Baer, Dr. Molinex. Great men of God, but still the philosophy was more religiosity than it was relationship. Many people have told me, "Well, Pensacola's gone. Pensacola's gone. Pensacola's gone." You can say what you want. I don't think they're completely gone yet. Now, I do hate it that a college started the church rather than the church started the college. But there have been many good men and women come out of schools like that, and Crown College, and I didn't have to say even Hiles and Midwestern, but it's amazing to me what doctrines they teach or don't teach, what philosophies they teach or don't teach. You know, it's frowned upon to say amen. It was frowned upon to wave a hand and say, "Glory to God." I was in a church, my home church to be specific, and a feller was singing. Boy, his family was blessing my heart. We were there visiting during one of the times back and forth to Pensacola. Amen! Glory to God! Boy, that was good singing. Y'all, you get happy bubbles. Y'all remember the happy bubbles? And I was after the church house, an old preacher that was there. "Dave, you need to calm down in the house of God." Of course, I are a smart aleck. I said, "You need to stop being so dead because you've been given eternal life." Amen. I said, "Listen, you may not like what I got to say, but I don't care. You're dead inside rather than being alive." Well, blah, 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 blah. And I never spoke to that pastor again. Praise God. You know, you need to be careful how you condemn a man or a woman's worship. Now, there is some worship out there that's not of God. But I'll tell you right now, the scriptures tell us of Michal, the wife of King David, who is worshiping God, and she said, nah, 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 and she never have a child. God said, no, you're not going to condemn my son David's worship of me. But I say all that to remind you of this thought. You don't know everything. Brother Scott's sitting back there, and I thank you, Brother Scott, the videos and all the things you do. Brother Scott knows that I'm not perfect. Because I'll add a torch to the gas line. And when he's not looking, I'll put a piece of duct tape on it. Anybody else in here perfect to know everything? That's why when somebody asks me, how do you loosen this screw? Lefty-loosey, righty-tighty. Lefty-loosey, righty-tighty. What's this? Oh, that's a Phillips screwdriver. It's a plus head. And a standard's a minus head. Oh, I can't believe. I remember in the print shop, I used to tell us, guys, I need a plus head screwdriver. But I knew who to say that to. And generally, it was people who've never been around tools. Well, why not give them a little bit of help in finding the tool you want them to go get? You don't condemn what they don't know. You teach them something. Well, I'd like to teach you today in this passage of Scripture where hell is at, where paradise is at, where you see God glorified and received, and you see God rejected and pushed aside. In this passage, the first doctrine I want you to see is the fact the Lord Jesus knows everything. When did this story happen? Was it way back in the Old Testament? Was it way forward in the New Testament? Well, from where they're sitting at in history, it was probably sometime in the past. When? Well, could it have been during King David's time? Yep. Could it have been during Abraham's time? Yep. Could it have been there? Could it have been here? Yeah. It could have been. It could have been in a lot of places, so the Lord Jesus knew it. How did he know it? Because he was God. What do we call that? What's the big $25 term? Omniscience. All-knowing. Does the Bible teach that throughout? That is a doctrine we need to rightly divide, line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, precept upon precept. The Lord God Almighty knows everything. He does. He knows from our uprisings to our lying down. He knows when our bellies are hungry. He knows when we're having that headache. He knows when our health isn't the best. He knows these things. And he allows a lot of our pains and ailments to come in to where we realize that our flesh is weak. The very thing that we hold to be the strongest is the weakest. I started doing push-ups again this week. I was given clearance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm probably another 4 or 5 months ahead of schedule. PT individual, I'm really excited to work with this young lady. Been fantastic and been able to witness to her a little bit now. It's like most people. Well, David, what makes you different? Well, let me just tell you what makes me a little bit different. The Lord Jesus. And I give them just enough that they want to hunger for more. By the way, I want to give the gospel immediately. And there's some times when the Holy Spirit opens that door that I can. But then there's other times the Holy Spirit says, this is going to take a little bit of time. So you know what we do? We take a little bit of time. Not everybody's ready for it. What? And then there's times you run into folks and they look at you and they say, what do I have to do to be different? Well, that's when you start the plowing of the rough ground. The Lord Jesus knows everything. Anybody in here, did anybody in here, that's something new? You know what? With that principle, how do you live life? How do you treat others? Boy, I wished I could be better at that. I've noticed as I get older, I'm a little more ornery than I used to be. Anybody else like that? Hello, anybody else more ornery or less ornery as you get older? Now, there's some of us that get less ornery because we just quit. Well, I'm never going to quit being ornery. Now, we can also look at ornery from a perspective, a righteous perspective in Scripture, of being steadfast and unmovable. Amen. I'm going to be stubborn about the things of God. But what did we say the definition of stubborn is? According to Scripture and according to Webster's Dictionary, and after studying it, stubbornness is just sinful disobedience. Stubborn child. A stubborn wife. I know I shouldn't have. All right, I recant on the word stubborn wife because there's never been such a creature. A stubborn daughter. Stubborn son, as I mentioned a moment ago. Now, you do realize I haven't said stubborn husband yet. Because this husband, my heart is hurting right now. Because Jamie's been in the air for an hour. What am I going to do? I got Opie. What am I going to do? Matthias is coming by this evening. He's going to stay with me tomorrow because he's got... I tell you what, this public school system is worthless. They have more time off than anything I ever saw in my life. All right, I digress. But I'm going to be busy. Somebody got to pray for Ray Mills. That's 10 full-time jobs. And then when you add Margie onto that, Brother Josh, holy cow, my prayer burden has just gone from 1 pound to 1 billion pounds. And then God forbid I go to praying for Rachel. Amen. Then it really gets heavy. Hey, beloved, Lord Jesus knows it all. Did you hear me? He knows it all. Why are you trying to figure everything out? I get calls from young pastors. I told you, probably the last 4 or 5 years, I get these young pastors, they'll call. Maybe that's the next part of our ministry here. When you have a Marine's mentality, thank God for Daddy. But when you have that go forward, we're going to figure it out, and we're going to win the battle, and we're going to glorify King Jesus. I guess folks kind of like that attitude because you don't see it very often anymore. I think that's kind of why I love Brother Raider up there at Kinross. That old football coach, he knows how to go forward. He knows how, as we would say, make a football play. But there's somebody even greater than any of us put together. And that's King Jesus who knows it all. That's the first doctrine I want you to see here. The second one, let's go back to verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared subsequently. Then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Did y'all notice how the Holy Spirit wrote that? Can you see the picture? Not only does the Lord Jesus know everything, but the Lord Jesus sees everything. Well, we called him knowing everything, omniscience, and now the idea he sees everything, he's omnipresent. When you and I get that bill, or our car breaks down, or the food pantry is almost empty, or this happens, or that, what do I do? What do I do? And we all get so worried. All right, I'll admit it, but will you? We get a little too worried about things. I see the weather and today was, what was it this morning? Like 42, 43? Last night before I went to bed, I cried myself a river. I cried myself to bed. Miss Jamie put my head in her arms and said, it'll be okay, Davey. It'll be okay. No. But that's the way we act sometimes. Y'all ever have a back issue, Sister Karis? And the Lord allows you to wake up? And the Lord says, come on, let's go. I'll get you up. I was up at 5:30 this morning because my muscles, I had to, you ever get to the point where you just want to stretch and stretch and stretch. And, oh, that feels so good to stretch. Y'all ever get like that? I know, no, probably none of y'all do that. And then I get up and I roll over to the edge of the bed and I push myself up or I'll try to roll out of, got to be careful rolling out of bed. Somebody will be picking you up. Oh, if you got back issues, you're not going to be picking yourself up, but you're going to have somebody else help you up. I did that one time. It's been a month ago, and I rolled over, and I went down. Thankfully, I caught myself, my hands and my feet and all that. Jamie, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. She's sleeping. Babe, I've fallen out of bed. Can you help me up? Micah was going to the bathroom about that time. Dad, you all right? He heard thud. Dad, you all right? No, I've fallen. You all right? You all right? Can you come help me up? Jamie finally woke up. Micah come in there and picked me up. And, well, the rest is history. Boy, you know you're in a bad state of affairs when you can't get yourself up. Amen. But you know what I found out about my Lord? He was there when I was laying in bed. He was there when I was walking the house. He is here right now. Where two or three are gathered in my name. And Lord Jesus, I'm here this morning to glorify and praise you. Thank you for an empty tomb. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for that redemption. Thank you for the reconciliation. Thank you for presenting that blood in heaven's glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my everything, as Sister Bensie would sing. The Lord Jesus sees everything. Now that's a good thing and a bad thing. You know what he sees the most? You can put on a face. You can put on an attitude. You can even say the right words and inside be the exact opposite. He sees that too. Why do you give? I've told you before, according to the scriptures, I give because I love the Lord Jesus. I don't give to make Josh think, oh, that David Garver, he's the greatest man I've ever known. But there are some people that live on earth to be seen. I have one young lady that keeps telling me every time she does something for me, don't say nothing from the pulpit. And I say, yes, ma'am, I won't. And then I kind of beat around the bush. You know why? I want everybody to be thanked for how you take care of Jamie and I. Did you hear me? Thank you. Beloved, thank you for taking care of Jamie and I. God does that through you. We should be doing that through all. Each one of us is helping each other become better. Sister Jamie made an email yesterday. She said, what statement you want me to put? From now on in my emails, I'll start putting some of the statements you writ down. Yeah. So, inner hillbilly just came out. She writ it down. And I said, how about this? The one I use a lot. Make others better while becoming better. That's huge. That's huge. It's submitting to the fact that it's your turn to give. And it's also submitting to the fact that you still got a lot of work to do. A lot of work God's got to do in us. The Lord Jesus sees everything. You know, another basic doctrine here, and I'm going to finish with this one. Another basic doctrine is the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We looked at that in the similarities and the similarities last week. But I want to reiterate this, that sinners die. I are a sinner. There's coming a day when my lungs will stop and my heart will stop. Every one of us in this room are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you say, well, maybe the Lord will come back. Well, that's true. There will be some of those that are alive and remain. That's true. But if this thing goes on any longer, maybe they'll come that day. Understand this. Death is real.
Where is that sting?
But thank God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ's work, death isn't a captain over me anymore. Death is not a controlling monster in my life. It is something, you say, well, you're going to look forward to it? Oh, honey, brother, I've read some things in Scripture that make you want that new body and that new earth and that new heaven. What do I want to do? I want to be here as long as God wants me to and try to glorify Him that He would help me do that, and then to help you and to help the lost, to help the saved. Be real about it rather than a bunch of fakes. Sinners die. Death is real. Well, there's a lot of doctrines here. But I wonder, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And Christian, do you understand how blessed you are to have a Savior that knows everything about you? That's encouraging. Do you know a Savior that sees everything? You know what I wondered this week? We get to driving. It was busy, and I'm trying to remember. I was taking Jamie to work one day, and it's real busy out here on Old 27, Old Cedar, Larch, whatever it is up here. It's like five different names, it seems like. And we were getting out, a lot of traffic. Then they want to, you know, they got all these arrows out there, and they got one lane here, and this is gone, and that's gone, and it can be mind-boggling. How many times have you driven a mile and God watched over you so you weren't in an accident? He knows everything and He sees everything. That's my Savior. You know, if we read, and if you read as you go home, chapter 16, the greatest character in this Bible, this book, is all about the Lord Jesus and what He can do. There's only one thing He can't do. Do you know that? That's sin. But there's nothing He can't do. He knows everything, sees everything. He knows when your expiration date is. And He knows at that very moment that you'll be with Him. Father, thank You for the doctrines of this passage, and I pray, God, we will take it serious. This invitation time, God, if there's someone here that's not saved, would You save their soul? Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand to our feet. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If God's dealing with your heart, the altars are open. If you'd like to come and just pray, maybe you're praying for yourself. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it'd be a real blessing today. I can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that Jesus Christ has saved your soul. Would you come this morning? Maybe you want to come pray for your pastor because his honey's gone for the week. I don't know. Listen, I'm going to tell you now, you ought to pray about everything. Even if you think it's tiny and small, the Lord Jesus is interested. God's in with your heart. Would you come on? No one comes in a moment waiting the invitation. God's in with your heart. Would you come on? Father, You've been so good to allow us to come here today freely. No worries of anything happening in our services as it has in others. Thank You for that protection and that security. Praise You, Lord, that we're able to read Your Bible without fear. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being a Savior that knows everything and sees everything. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving us life, not death. I praise You, Lord Jesus, and ask You to help us to make it back next week or Wednesday night for Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen.